First Peter chapter number 3. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to First Peter chapter number 3. And I want to read verses 18 through 23 for our scripture lesson tonight and talk to you just a few minutes by the help of the Lord on an important subject, I think. And trust that the Lord will bless us as we share the time together. Would you mind to stand with me as I read the scripture and remain standing for just a moment of prayer before you sit back down? Verse 18, Peter says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word and ask that your blessing to be upon your servant as we stand before these people here tonight. And Lord, help me to say the very things that I need to say that would honor and glorify your name and would bless the lives of these people who are here present with us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Baptism. Bulletins from, I believe it's from Cathedral Press, can't even talk, but we get ours through the Free Will Baptist denomination, and every shipment that I can remember getting, there's been a little card like a track that's talking about baptism, and I don't know whether I ever read it or not. You know, stuff like that always comes with stuff, and you just, you know, look to see if you got what you ordered and throw the rest of it in file 13. But I decided I would read that track. I didn't bring it with me. I kindly wish I'd brought it out here with me and just shared it with you. It's one of the best tracks on baptism that I ever read in my life. And it's short. It's just a little thing about the size of the Sunday school cards we used to get, those of us who are getting close to a century old, when we went to Sunday school, about the same size. And it's got, but it has the best biblical explanation of baptism that I believe I ever read. And I hope by the next time they come, that I'll just call them and order some of those cards. Didn't even look at see what it was all about, but I took the time to read that, and it's amazing. Baptism is really important, and they emphasize the fact of why baptism and when baptism and so on. They mention that baptism doesn't save people. That's what that card said. That's what the Bible said. Baptism is a symbol or a sign of what's happened in our life. That's what baptism is all about. And that's what Peter is talking about here in this portion that I read to you here tonight. He's talking about in like figure, example that Christ went through, and is talking about his death. Back in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, and the first 4 verses of so that chapter says this: "What shall we say then?" Paul begins with a bunch of questions here in the first 2 verses. That's question number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Question 2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Question number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Question number 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul is talking here in Romans chapter number 6 about what Christ did for us and how the grace of God works in our life. God's grace is not a license to sin. Paul said in one passage, said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And that's what baptism represents, that we die out to sin and we put on a new life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about here. And Peter over here, the scripture that I read, he's talking about these things. And we want to talk about three things that pertain to the death of Christ and what baptism is like that symbolically when we're buried with him in baptism. That's what he says here. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death. He died for the sins of the world. We prove to this that we've died out to the sins of this life and we've turned our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ and have taken on the plan of salvation for our life and to live for God and to love and to honor him. Three things about his death. Number one, he literally died. Now, when he talks about death, sometimes death is symbolic in the Bible. And that's the way it is when you talk about that we die out to sin. But Christ literally died. You remember that when he was crucified, we talked about this probably around Easter. And if I didn't talk about it, you heard somebody talk about it, I'm sure. If you listen to any sermons or even any testimonies much about Easter, talked about Christ, that when Joseph went to get his body, asked for his body so he could take him and give him the burial that he deserved as much as man could, you remember that Pilate wanted to know if he was dead already. Sometimes on the cross, it would take a long time for the person to die, a cruel death. Really, really cruel, cruel death. Sometimes it would take them maybe several days to die. That's cruel, you know. But Christ wasn't on the cross but 3 hours till he was dead. 3 hours. You remember that religious folks of that day, the church of that day, said we don't want to leave these up over the Passover. And we need to get them down before the sun sets. Our Sabbath starts at sunset, and we can't leave them on the cross. So they went by, and they broke the legs of the thief on the one side of Christ, broke the legs of the man on the other side of Christ, and they came to him, and he was dead already. So they didn't break his legs. You remember a passage of Scripture back in the Old Testament that not a bone in his body is to be broken? You remember the Paschal lamb that was to be roast with fire, and we're told that the way that they were to be roast, that you put the stick, and it was made something similar to a cross, the way that they fastened this animal on that stick, and they roasted it with fire, but not a bone was broken in its body. Not a one. Nobody was going to break the bones of Christ. They said he wasn't going to, and he didn't. But they pierced his side, and water and blood came out. So he died. Pilate was amazed that he was dead already. 3 hours. God is gracious and good, and God wanted to pay that sin, and Jesus wanted to pay that sin, and God did not allow him to stay on that cross any longer than was necessary. That's the love of God. But he literally died. He died, and that's what we do to sin. We die out to sin. And then after he died, he was buried. One of the scriptures tells us that we're buried with him in baptism. Now that don't mean that we are put in a sinner and brought out a Christian. It doesn't mean that. But it means that we're buried with him symbolically, that we have given up a sin and given our heart to the Lord and laid that aside. And when a person dies and they're buried, then they lay aside all the activities of this world. They take on a different role. It's different altogether. So Jesus was buried, and so are we. We're buried with him in baptism, that the Lord has forgiven our sins. And symbolically, we do this to tell the world that I'm a changed person. I've changed my mind. God has changed my heart, and my life is going to be different, and I'm going to honor the Lord, and I'm going to live for him. That's what we're saying when we're baptized. I was baptized in 1954. I guess I was saved in July, and I'm not sure when they had the baptizing. It was a tent revival, and they had the baptizing later on, and I think there's about between 35 and 40 of us that was baptized in the river over at Holston, where you cross on 5819 above that bridge, a little white Methodist church. It's not a Methodist church, but the building's still there, same building, and right there on that spot of ground in the rivers where I was baptized. When I got saved, the last thing on my mind was being a preacher. You know, I wasn't sure how much I liked preachers anyway. But anyhow, but that's the last thing on my mind. I never thought about being a preacher, man, alive. I thought about a lot of other things I'd like to be, but preacher wasn't one of them. I had no earthly idea. My grandmother, Grandma Fields, was standing there on the bank with Mommy, my mother, and she, when I was baptized, she said, "Well, Walter is going to make a preacher." You know, I didn't know my grandma was a prophet, you know, but and that's not the reason I made a preacher really either. But we are baptized. We it's a testimony to the world that we've changed our heart. We've changed our life. We're going to be a new person. And then Jesus died, literally died, was buried in the tomb, but he rose again. He came back to life. See, all of those things are so important for our salvation. All of those things. It was important that he died. It was important that he was buried to prove that he died. You know, sometimes people are in a coma, and I'm sure that back then they didn't have the things that we have today to determine that if a person is has deceased, but 3 or 4 days was good enough. And Jesus was buried for 3 days, but after 3 days he arose again, made alive. Now he got, it appears to me that he got the same kind of body, or the same body that he died in, that it was glorified. He didn't have a body to begin with, as such, as we could see, a physical body. Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But in the time of the creation, it said, "Let us make man in our own image." God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was all there present that day, but he arose again. And after we are baptized in the water, then we arise with a new outlook on life, with a new determination. I didn't know anything about baptism when I was baptized. I'd seen some folks baptized, I think. I'm not sure. I don't remember a whole lot about that. But I didn't go to church much. I didn't know anything much about the Bible. After I got saved, I wanted to be baptized. I mean, you know, that was a desire that I had in my heart. I just feel like that. And the preachers, I don't remember the preachers preaching a whole lot about being baptized in the revival meeting. Did you know a lot of the famous evangelist people never baptized anybody? Or very few, if any? I doubt that Billy Graham, has baptized as many people as most any local pastor that you'll find here in the community. I don't know if he might have pastored church, and he might have baptized a lot too, but you see, they couldn't do that. Even when they have revivals, like citywide revivals here in this area, and churches who participate in the revivals, you go over there, and the pastors go over there, and they help work with whatever needs to be done in the revival or whatever they can do. And then when the people that are converted, when they stay and they go into the counseling and they're converted, that preacher don't take them and baptize them. They send a letter back to the church. If a person is coming here to church, they'll send a letter to Shiloh Church and say that so-and-so got saved, and we want you to talk to them about joining the church, getting baptized. They leave that to the local church, you see. They leave that to them. But I wanted to be baptized. That come along with me. I had that desire. I just felt like that was something that I needed to do. And the Holy Spirit was telling me that. And then I've done a lot of studying about baptism, but he rose from the dead. And that means that when we die out to sin, that we give our hearts to the Lord. We're buried in baptism as a testimony and as a witness to God and to the world, to our families, to those around us, that our lives are changed and we're a different person, and we're going to live for the Lord. That's it in a nutshell. And there's a blessing in baptism that you'll never get anywhere else. But you got to be sure that that's what you want to do. Just do it to honor the Lord, to honor him. You know, when I first started preaching, not many churches I preached to had a baptistry in them. I just and I can't swim a lick. I mean, not a lick. I mean, you know, and when the water gets too deep to take a bath in or to baptize, I'm ready to get out. You know, I can't swim a lick. And I can remember sometime getting in the river, you know, and that water was kind of swift. You know, it was. I remember one time up above Chilhowee, I was going to baptize one Sunday with Willard Reedy. It seemed like we'd had a revival together, maybe at his church or our church or somebody's church. Anyhow, we'd been together in this meeting, and whoever it was going to be baptized, we were both doing. And most of the time, when you done it like that, you had two preachers. And we got out, and the river had been up, you know. And of course, Willard grew up on the river, I guess, and he wasn't afraid of the water. And he said, well, it'll be all right. He said, we'll just get up here, you know, where it's not. But that undercurrent, man, it was strong that day. You know, it was strong. But you've got to, you're baptized for a good purpose, and the Lord takes care of you. He takes care of that. He always takes care of that, and I'm glad that he does. So we follow the Lord. We follow him in baptism to be reminded of his death. Because he died on the cross, we can have totally and complete forgiveness of our sins. Now, that's amazing. It's amazing. If we commit a felony and we're tried in a court of law, and we go to prison and spend 30, 40 years in prison, when we come out, that mark is always against us. It's always there. Now, there's some ways that they can remove it, I understand, but usually it's there. Child molesters are supposed to be recognized in the community. But when we come to God and God forgives us of our sins, we're justified, and someone has said that word justified means just as if you had never sinned. And that's exactly the way it is, that we're saved by the grace of God, and God forgives us of all these sins. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Nowhere else can you find that in the whole world. And he makes us alive, gives us that eternal life. That eternal life, that we can live forever and ever in the city of God. That's a blessed hope that we have living in our heart. And that's what baptism does. It's a symbol of what's taken place in a person's life. And we get saved by just simply trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When I got saved, a lot of people got saved in that same revival. And I started immediately going to church. When I got saved in 1954, there has never been a time in my life, in the last almost 52 years, there has never been a time in my life that anybody from the church needed to come and find out why I wasn't going to church. That became a part of my life. I started going to church. I started going to Sunday school. I started going to prayer meeting. I started going to preaching. I started going to revivals. You know, I started going to singings. That was just a part of it. And I've always wanted to be in church. Always wanted to be in church. You see, and the reason was because my life had changed. The Lord had come into my heart. And I wanted to be with God's people. And I learned about God. You learn about God. So but I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I didn't know how to pray. I prayed in the barn for months, I guess, before I got right with the Lord. I was working on the farm with Daddy, and I'd go get the horses or mules to go out in the field to plow. And sometimes I'd take time before I'd put the harness on them and get down in the barn shed somewhere and pray and ask the Lord to come into my heart. I wanted to be a Christian. And I can remember going out in the fields and some of the places where I worked was back over the ridges, you know, and nobody around. And I'd tie the old mules up to a locust sprout and find me a place in the gully and get down on my knees and call on the Lord. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, I just didn't know what to do. And the night that I got saved, that's exactly the reason I went to the altar, was to ask the Lord to come into my heart. And I prayed just like I did when I was out in the field. I didn't know what to ask God, except to tell him I was sorry of my sorry, rotten life. That's all I knew. I didn't know what to do. And a person told me, he said, "Walter, you get saved when you trust the Lord. You got to trust him. You got to trust him." Boy, I'm glad she told me that. I'll tell you, I'm glad she didn't pat me on the back and say, "You're all right. You're a pretty good boy, and everything's going to be all right. Get up from her." She said, "Boy, if you get saved, you got to trust the Lord, and let's me and you pray again." And we prayed again, and the Lord come into my heart. And for the last 52 years, many, many days of my life, and many, many times in my life, I haven't known anything else to do but just trust the Lord. Things get in a mess sometimes. Now, when we get saved, that don't mean we're going to have a life free from all problems of any kind. I'll tell you, old Satan is going to see to that, but we have that Redeemer and the Lord to love us and to help us through all of these things. So if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you ought to give your heart to the Lord. You ought to do it. You say, "Well, preacher, you think this is a good time?" I think it's the best time you'll ever have. You know, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, the Lord says. And you just simply trust the Lord, ask him to come into your heart, receive that. Salvation is a gift that's received. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all of it's paid for by him, not by the church or by some organization or whatever. It's paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he forgives us of our sins. And if you're not saved, you ought to get right with the Lord while you've got time. And I want you to bow your heads, if you will, for just a minute. And I want to ask Brother Homer if he'll come and lead us in an invitation verse, please. And I want you to think seriously about your life and where you stand with the Lord. And if you're ready to meet him, I want you to think seriously about this during the time of this invitation. And let's just bow our heads for just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will visit every heart in this invitation. And God, just work your precious will. You understand every life. Every person, every soul, you understand what's needed. And I just pray that you would, through your mighty power, deal with the hearts that need to respond in this invitation and help them to do so. And we'll praise your name for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand? We're going to sing on one verse of a song for the invitation. If you're not ready to meet the Lord, we invite you to come. Give your heart to the Lord. If you'd like to come and join the church, if you want to become a church member, if you're saved and you'd like to join the church, we'll ask that you come forward as we sing this one verse. Okay.
178.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood?
I appreciate this man, and I have a hardest time calling him by his first name. Shannon is his first name. He told me one day, he says, "Walter, call me Shannon." I said, "They call me doctor all the time." I have a lot of respect for him and a lot of love for him and his family. They're very precious and very dear to my heart. and he's come tonight. He wants to join the church, and he's going to be baptized here in a little bit, so we need a motion that we receive him as a member of our church, okay? Okay, all in favor of this motion, just raise your hand, okay? Okay, thank you, and we appreciate that. Any opposed? Got to be democratic about this thing, so we have to... we welcome him to our church, and his family are so very, very precious to us. They're wonderful, wonderful family of people. I'm just glad God sent them our way. Shannon, and I think about this so very often. A man in the hospital that's been really, really sick and almost left this world. And I feel like, and I've talked to him so many times in the last few weeks, and he's a happy Christian. And he's getting to go to Duke, I believe, on Tuesday to have a bone marrow transplant, I believe. And so you pray for him. But I believe that boy is saved because Shannon was interested enough in him to ask if he could send a preacher. And he got the worst one he could find and sent him out there. But I tell you right now, I enjoyed that. But the Lord has always got something for all of us to do. See, it takes everybody working together. The preacher is just a person. He can only do so much. And but I appreciate him, and we welcome him as a member of our church. And let's promise that we're going to pray for him. Going to pray for him. And let me just welcome you into the church. Shannon. And Omer, if you'll sing another verse. And Lee, if you'll come up here and help us. Do you feel like coming up here? We'll give you time to move slowly. I have to go sideways through the seat, okay. We'll just go ahead and get ready for baptism, and one of the deacons will come and help Shannon over here. I'd appreciate it, and we'll get ready and go back there and just get right on with it, okay? What are you going to sing, Omer?
611.
611, okay. 611. Anybody else now wants to be baptized, you're welcome to come. The women go through this side over here and the men over here. Anybody else wants to come? Okay.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us much. We need thy tender care and thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine way on. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine way on. We are thine to thou befriend us. Be thy guardian on our way. Keep thy flocks from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear.
Savior Jesus Christ, and upon Shannon's personal profession of faith in him as his Lord and Savior, we gladly baptize him, our brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
the Lord. Appreciate that. I tell you, let's put him on our prayer list, that the Lord will help him and give him strength from day to day. That's a wonderful privilege. Great to know the Lord, isn't he? I tell you right now, he's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And I believe he's coming back. And it's important that we're ready to meet him. That's the most important thing in this whole world. We'll get by down here, but we can't get by that day without knowing him. Okay, thank you very much. And I'll come out there and dismiss you in a little bit. Omer, you want to sing another verse, please? Teach my one, turn the lights on.
Early, let us seek thy favor. Early, let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Okay. I ought to have the most holy bunch of ties of anybody in the country. But I didn't get them under very far. I'll tell you, I don't get these famous paper, tie clasp. That's an oversized paper clip, I'll tell you, and I got it in the wrong place. But